Hi guys, welcome back to Mommy Jojo Uncut Mojo Injection, episode 20. And last night I was on the panel at the Podcasting 101 event with the Bra Blogger events in Whitespace, 17th of October 2018. And it's an after hour podcast, so there will be some swear words, but you'll also get to hear from some legends. So we have Marcus Helbig, he's a cultural coordinator from Backpackers. And we also have some awesome podcasters, Ant McKinley from The Podcast Guy, who's an absolute legend and so knowledgeable. I also had some chat from The Trampled Bats. So we've got Scottish comedians Gary Black, Chris Conroy and John Walker. That's Charlie just calling me, wanting me to help him put his jeans on at the moment as I record this intro. So I'm going to have to rush, but I'll leave you with all of the chat from last night. If you want to set up your own podcast, it's very, very useful. I kick off the panel discussions, but please tune into what everyone else has to say because it's very, very good.
The final furlong of our evening, so to speak. So, settle yourselves down, sit comfortably, and we'll begin. So, and we'll start off with Jojo Fraser.
Hello.
So, how'd you do?
Hi, guys.
I'm going to sit here like Parkinson and put my knee, across the knee, and stuff, and we'll do this whole shtick, Yeah. All right, okay, yes, now.
Hi, guys. How's your mojo?
Ooh. indeed.
It's better now you're here.
Oh.
You old dog, Colin. So, now, Jojo, you have come out with a book recently, right?
I have indeed, yeah.
You've had quite an active year.
Yeah, I should really have a copy up here to promote it, shouldn't I? I've got one in my bag.
Should, yeah, we could have done this whole kind of, razzle-dazzle, It's like, and here's like one you prepared earlier kind of thing, which was probably a bit longer than just earlier,
Took a bit of time.
Blood, sweat and tears, eh?
So,
but, how did you come across this path? I mean, I know you did once upon a time have anxiety issues, is this correct?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's kind of where it's the mojo, that aspect from Jojo kind of emerged.
Yeah, it's a very long story. We all have anxiety, so if you're sitting here thinking, we're born with it, it keeps us alive, but I had what I would like to call a slightly higher level, and it tends to go for the really creative types, so a lot of people I meet that are freaking awesome have really bad anxiety. And people that are rocking the mic in front of hundreds, thousands of people, and they're being trolled for having anxiety. So why are you doing that then? Are you just... Actually, anxiety can be a superpower when you manage it, but it can be really, really shit when you are not looking after your mojo. So I had my first anxiety attack, ironically, in the most beautiful place you can imagine in New Zealand, on this pier, and it was picture perfect. It's not a place you would think you would have an anxiety attack, and it hit me like that, because I'd been taking my mental health for granted. I was partying, I was raving, I was drinking amazing wine in New Zealand. I wasn't sleeping a lot, so all these triggers I didn't know about, because I wasn't a wellness geek then. I was just living my life and having fun. I thought I was invincible, as Gary Barlow would say. And, invincible, yeah. We're all like people. I was cocky. I was just young, and I was like, I'm fine. And friends were saying to me, oh, calm down. Like, you've been drinking, like, most nights this week. I was like, I'm in New Zealand. I'm in Queenstown. There's all these cool DJs. I'm not going to miss that. I'm fine. I was 24, 25. And then it just hit me, actually, I need to make changes. But that was... I started writing the book 11 years ago, but I hadn't made enough mistakes. So I needed to make more mistakes.
Once. You needed to kind of...
I needed to make more mistakes.
Push it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Okay. And... And now, like I said, you're doing your blogging, but now you're going to more, what you mentioned earlier on, more podcasts, and you're talking about vlogging as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, How's that going for you? How are you feeling? It's
going really well. I started I've written all my life since I was a little girl. Mum's got notepads of books I've written, and my little girl's the same now, which is quite cute. I've got a background in drama, so being on the stage actually helped with my anxiety because I could go into a different character and a different role. I've always written, and I worked in marketing. I launched Blythe with Square Hotel and the marketing team. Did a lot of PR and stuff, so it was a natural progression because people were saying to me, we like your writing, when you're going to set up a blog, and I said, I'll do one, yeah. And then when I had Bonnie and I was on mat leave, I thought, actually, I'm going to write about the tough times of being a mum, because you get all these mums that are like, it's perfect and I love my babies and I'm so blessed, and I'm like, this is shit. Like, I love my little girl, but I'm sorry, this is really hard, and why are more parents not talking about this? So I started talking about like going for a wee in a supermarket and my little girl's like running and unlocking the door and everyone's seeing me like that, and I'm like, this is awful. Surely I'm not the only one. And then all these mums started writing, I'm so glad you were honest. So it started to be a parenting blog. And then it turned to mental health, and my dad, my best friend, got diagnosed with severe depression, and we were that close to losing him. So we went from 12 stone to 6 stone, and he just wasted away in front of us. Thankfully, 70% of people get over mental health conditions, and my dad's rocking it just now. He's my PS. He's emailing all the bookshops and saying, if my book's not there, he wants it in, because he's just so for like breaking the stigma and being real, because a lot of people walk around with a mask on. I understand why, but I think with that passion, it made me think, I'm going to do the podcast. It was actually a guy that said to me, a bodybuilder, he said, why don't you launch a podcast? And this was about December last year, right? We're sitting around his table, and he said, why don't you launch a podcast? And I said to him, I can't, like, no one's going to listen, and like, I'm really... And he was like, I'm so shocked watching your vlogs on Instagram that you're sitting here right now saying you don't have the guts to do this. He's like, this is a shock. And I said, but I'm scared. I thought, screw it, because if you're passionate, like, I didn't have the time. I was writing a book. I had 2 young kids. I had work commitments. I was working with brands for the blog and doing vlogs, and I had speaking gigs. I didn't have time to launch a podcast, but I had the passion. And I knew that that was unstoppable, because if you are really passionate about something, like my thing is Mojo and mental health and how our lifestyle goes together, everyone in this room tonight is, one, about mental, because you've all got a mind, and 2, you're all a bit creative in something. You can all think right now that thing that you are moved enough to talk about, whether it be sustainable fashion, whether it be foods that gets you really going, you know, sex, like getting the mojo and marriages. You've all got something that you're really passionate about. And my thing was helping people get their mojo back. So I just teamed up the podcast name with my book and really just went all out with the brand.
Okay. Oh, gosh. So where's next for Mummy Jojo?
Mummy Jojo. I've started writing my second book, which is a fiction this time. So I had an award-winning author on the podcast last week. I've not put it live yet, but storyboards for the next book, and I'm doing a lot of research. It's going to be good. Going to be controversial, but that's what we like. I'm in chats with the BBC at the moment about a mojo slot.
Good.
I was on Kay Adams' show last week, or the week before, and caused a bit of controversy. And
what did you do, Mummy? Tell us, reveal all.
I was just honest. I was just very honest and said things that a lot of people are scared to say.
Okay.
And got the attention of the team, so I'm chatting to them. I mean, I know it's very competitive, but my vision is to have the Mojo Injection onto radio, onto TV, and one day to be selling film rights for my next book.
Really? Wow.
Dream big,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
I just want to add, though, limiting beliefs are absolute bullshit. Everyone in this room can do amazing things. Like, everyone. I heard all, like, that podcast today. I was like, I can't do it. We can do whatever the hell we like. The chances of us being here are like 1 in 800 trillion or something crazy like that is in the book. Honestly. Everyone, right? Everyone in this room, I don't care what the hell you say, you can do whatever you want with passion, a bit of hard work, if you're willing to give up your time. I have missed time on my family to launch the podcast. I have missed time to write the book, right? But my family still love me. My house has been a hole. The housework has been an absolute shambles. But you know what? The kitchen always gets messy again, but I have a book and a podcast with just a little bit of hard work, right? So if there's something you really want to do, ignore the fucking dishes, right? They are going to be there, right? They are going to be there, right? Ignore the dishes, right? I know control issues. I research this. We all, half of us, put your hand up if you're in the camp, that will not sit and study and work until all the dishes are done, right? Okay, so I know that's a thing, right? I know it's a thing. It's a 50, there's a percent. But just sometimes cut yourself some fucking slack, right? And I'm swearing to add to the point because I feel quite passionately about it. Cut yourself some slack. You don't, to get an A, you don't need 70%. I mean, you don't need 100%. You need 70. Maybe it's a bit higher now. I don't know. But all I'm saying is if you have an idea, you're passionate about it. Is my podcast perfect? No. There's so much I would change. Is my book perfect? No. But the reviews show me that it's resonating with people because I'm passionate as hell. So if you're passionate about something, I don't care what it is, just do it. Do it, do it.
Well, thank you very much.
Any questions from the audience before we move on to these rogues down here? So...
I've only got one copy tonight. You can get it on Amazon, Waterstones. I'm doing an event at Waterstones on the 27th of November with Jill Sims, who's a Sunday Times bestseller, so she's an inspiration for me.
There's something from Blackwell's here, Blackwell's books.
Oh, yes, but at the moment I'm. It's Amazon. You can hit up Amazon and get it right now if you want. Mojo Injection.
Soon to be available.
And Rachel, yeah.
Let me preface this by saying I think it's so important to talk about mental health issues and whatnot. But have you ever faced any had any regrets or faced any criticism for using your own mental health journey and struggles as content?
I think anyone that calls you self-indulgent for talking about your mental health is an absolute wanker. I'm sorry. Anyone that would discourage a conversation about mental health, I feel sorry for them because they're obviously in a really bad place. Come and talk to me and I will show you love. I do not hate on trolls. I get trolled not that often because they hate positivity. But listen, if someone trolls me, I'm like, babe, are you okay? Seriously, come and have a chat with me because they are crying out for love. So if someone trolls you, please don't give them a hard time. They need love. Like, women, you know, Paddington Bear, I'm going to spread love. Like, spread it. The world needs it. I will talk. I will be real. That's why my brand's doing well, because I'm so unfiltered. That's why it's doing well, because it's opening up the conversation. I get people in taxis or just coming up and telling me. I was on a photo shoot the other night, and the guy said, can I just talk to you about something that happened with my dad? I'd been speaking to him for 30 seconds, and he felt he could say that to me because of my podcast. We need to encourage people talking openly about mental health. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We're all mental. We all have a mind. We all have issues. So bring it on. I will always encourage real, honest conversation around mental health. But really good question.
Thank you very much. All right. Okay, I think you're going to have to swap over there to Mr. Black. So, but thank you very much, Jojo.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You get a smoking jacket.
Now, all right, so yes, this is Mr. Black and his cronies. Gary and John.
John and Chris.
Chris, yes. And you have been doing a rather, sort of mischievous blog for a while, podcast. Yeah.
So we started in 2010. Chris and I were at the time aspiring stand-up comics. Chris was much more aspiring than me. Yeah. And really, the idea of I was a super and still am a super podcast nerd. Like, I love podcasting. And I basically wanted to do a podcast with Chris to hang on to his coattails, because he was the obvious talented one. I've never told him that before, so that shock is real. And it just seemed like a really good way to meet up every week, you know, and speak to each other about anything. That has evolved and really taken off in the last couple of years when we added John. And I think we really only became properly serious about it in the last 18 months. We've got a little studio space in Finiston in Glasgow now, so we don't have to podcast in Chris's kids' room or my spare room where my cat was jumping about. But, you know, a kid's bedroom, weirdly, is a really good place to record a podcast, as long as you know them. It's full of all the soft furnishings that you need. This has went down a really weird avenue already.
this is like no different to your show.
I think it's
you do like kind of a weekly or a regular kind of who's died.
It's a weekly hour now, and it is hard, I think, for us to talk about it because we are three straight white guys agreeing with each other, which. I know
not all the time.
I know how that sounds, but I think we all come at every topic from a good place. And how do I make that sound like we're not arseholes? No, I'm not finished yet.
One of the sections we do is it sounds strange. Like I've said to friends, guys I went to school with, can't get them to listen to the podcast. They couldn't care less. Been doing it for 8 years. Initially, the question that Ant asked earlier, who's made a podcast? And everybody put their hand up and said, oh, I've never made a podcast. You put your hand up if you listen to podcasts. So, you use people, this is a strange demographic in society. It, like, to have so many people with a high percentage in the room that actually listen to podcasts. Like, if I'm sure you have it with workmates and you say, oh, listen, that's really a good podcast, and like, I don't like Star Trek, Rick, I'm not interested. Do you know what I mean? It's like some kind of niche thing that strange people do, and it's not. The reason that me, Gary, and John kind of embraced it was kind of the way we watched television 10 years ago compared to now has changed so much. The amount of channels and the way we consume it, the way things are streamed now, and you watch a whole season in one weekend. Just sat there with a bag of snacks and you will munch those snacks until you have watched those 23, 45 minute episodes and streamed the absolute life out of Netflix. But you couldn't have done that 10 years ago. And people do that with podcasts. And podcasting is, I see it as one facet of what's going to be new media. People are going to make stuff and they are going to put it out and people are going to consume it. Now, it's maybe not that there's podcasts out there in a variety of subjects, but there's podcasts out there that are getting more listeners and making more money and doing better things than a lot of the mainstream media are putting out there. The sort of figures about sort of the people who own the newspapers in this country, it's the same six people, they've all got the same agenda. If you go to a podcast library and say, right, I want to listen to this, you can get 12 different opinions on it the way we can off our mainstream media. That whole table there, you could all tell us your favourite three podcasts and you wouldn't have the same one twice. They'd be so wide. Like 10 years ago, you would have said to somebody, what's your favourite TV programme? It'd be Emmerdale, EastEnders, Question Time. Do you know what I mean? It would be whatever was coming through your teletube at the time, and that's what you take on, and that's why we embrace the podcasting as much. But I put stuff in for the radio, and then I realised the people who read my jokes on the radio, before they got that job, essentially, they worked in the garden centre. So the people that are controlling the stuff and the output that's getting put out there, maybe they didn't have the background of half the comics that were working in the circuit, but yet they were the gatekeepers to whether my stuff got put out or not. If you're podcasting about collecting stamps, if you're... It's a legitimate hang. People collect stamps. If you're podcasting about mental health. Mental health seems to have exploded on podcasting just because it isn't treated the same in the mainstream media. It's, if you're talking about mental health on mainstream media, it's Philip Schofield sat on the couch going, tell us about your disaster. It's not a, it's not an honest appraisal of people's situations or that we talk about stuff. And that's the way podcasts let people talk. So we only, as Gary said, we only really sort of said, see if we're going to do it seriously. We need a little bit of studio space, and next year what we'll do is we'll try and curate. We'll try and say to somebody, you know, maybe a photographer, maybe a painter, go and really like what you do. Will you come and do 6 episodes on 6 photos that's changed your life? It doesn't need to get 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, or make a fortune. But the very idea that you can create something and put it out there for somebody that's interested is something that was not there 10, 15 years ago, and it is there. And if any of you guys are thinking of starting a podcast, don't get caught up in the numbers, the equipment. Anne showed you how to do it. It is that easy. Don't worry about the sound quality, but it is a great creative outlet. And do you want to see if you make an episode, if you make 6 episodes, if you make 20? Be pretty fucking chuffed with what you do, I'll be honest with you. You know, you're the only one that's going to hear the sound of going, oh, that was when I dropped the, that was when I dropped the cup, that was when I did this is when that happened. The fact that you've came to this workshop tonight, take the next step, make something. If you're doing it from a business point of view, what we've done really well and we're really chuffed with is the level of engagement that we get. See people that listen, that will actually message in. We made a mistake and started a WhatsApp group maybe about 6 months ago. And we made a WhatsApp group and we put the number out and said, listen, if you want to join the WhatsApp group, we will be on there every day.
We spent about 4 years asking people to engage, and then the minute they engaged, we realised we were better off.
I would like to do
But you've probably realised this is why we need 3 mics to do our podcast. This is Chris just doesn't stop talking when he gets going. Well, if you go and listen to the podcast, you realise that is how it is. Chris has lived like must be 1,000 years on this earth.
I've had a couple of jobs.
Aye, I don't. every episode there's a new job that you had somewhere in a different location in the UK. But yeah. The numbers thing's a good thing. So we do the Trample Bat podcast, and when we got our own space, we decided we might as well make use of it. So I do a betting podcast just because I love talking about football. And I think me and my pals have the same kind of Facebook group. Because every Saturday morning, it'd be like, what we're putting on our coupon. And I was like, there must be a better way to do this. And it was just getting another pal and going, right, let's just do a 20-minute podcast, something short, sharp. We'll pick 3 teams each in a charity bet that we'll do ourselves and just get it out there. And then our pals can kind of come in and communicate. We're only getting like maybe 80 to 120 downloads because it expires. We get it on a Friday morning and it's basically expired by Saturday afternoon. So it is a short window to get anyone to listen to it. But see the feedback we've had just on people that have been following the bets and tweeting us going, I made 150 quid following your 3 picks. And you're like, oh, well, there you go. There's one guy. I mean, it doesn't help me any. Like, it's not going out of my pocket, but no, it's really enjoyable. That's what you find. I was terrible about, 3-4 years ago when we took a break. I was terrible for every Tuesday just going, Gary, I can't be fucked. Somebody asked earlier on about consistency. If you're going to do a topical podcast, you need to set aside time every week and say, right, this is why we took the premises, because I said if we put money down, I'd need to be there. If we're paying whatever we're paying for the rent, we need to be there and we need to start doing something. We need to start doing other podcasts to try and pay for it, opening up Patreon, stuff like that. But I think what I noticed was, see if you're going to do it, do the people you like.
John, could you explain Patreon if people are not familiar with it?
Patreon's a way to steal people's money, if you want. No, I mean...
Do you want me
to? No, that's fine, Gary. Gary, you...
Well, I'm trying to get back in.
I know, you
can... Do you want me to explain this?
You can hold them with the details if you want it later on.
Cool.
Patreon's just a way... Podcasts are free, that's the way I want them. Every podcast I listen to, I wouldn't pay for. I enjoy the fact that it's free content.
But...
A couple of the ones that... But there is a lot of cost. And, doesn't seem to be advertisers queuing up for us yet, Gary.
No, yeah.
5k, mate.
Cool. You get about 5,000 apparently. So it's just a way to try and keep our running costs. Like I said, we've got a premises. There is costs in keeping it viable on the many networks. and it does take up time. So we had some we've got a good core of listeners who have been very good to us when we've opened up a Patreon, just asking for anything. So we've kind of cut our content. So we had, what are we on, kind of 92?
Yep.
92 episodes. So what we did was, just example, we just archived 50 of them and said, right, a pound donation, you can access all the old stuff. Was it £2 gets early access?
Yep, 24-hour early access.
And we always try and do an extra 20 minutes for people who pay £3, and then £5 we'll try and... What do? We go and actually visit people and give them hugs?
Yeah.
It's because you three boys just turning up, knock, knock, here come to papa's.
Yeah. Almost always invited as well, so... But no, it's... The best thing about it is to say... I think when we first did it, you just were like, right, come on, hang out. You didn't quite tell me that you were roping me into doing something. Until I got there. But that's the key thing. It's like, doing, you said you do it, was it one of your pals you do it with? Mm. I think that is definitely key. Is one, you enjoy the content you're going to do, and secondly, you enjoy being around the people you're doing it with. Because otherwise, it's going to be shit, you aren't going to bounce off each other, and you are going to get to a point where you go, kind of bored in this anymore.
I know, we still get to that point, yeah. Like, in between us, if you just put that there you go. So, does anybody use Slack?
Yeah.
So, we've actually looked at setting up a second podcast, which is basically just us reading out the Slack conversations that we have, which are some of the most... There's a guy that came to work with us for a little while, and he's just left us because he's got a job at the BBC, which we're very proud of. But when he joined us, he was, for the first few weeks, he was dead quiet because we were all working remotely, and he was just in the Slack chat, and he didn't know if we didn't like each other or was part of the process. And the thing, it just kind of would swing as well, and it just kind of like, just become the most vile and abusive things we could put out. Just like saying, have you done that? You know, just simple requests. And then it would swing completely the other way as well. But I think that's part of when you, I suppose it's like a marriage. You know, it is like a marriage when you work with somebody, but also the podcast itself. And I wrote a blog on this a while back. And I said, you know, you've got to be married to the podcast. You've got to make that commitment. And, you know, it's similar in many ways in that, you know, you stop doing things that you normally liked and you don't necessarily always have a good time with that person, but you've made a commitment to them for a long term. And that means that you're going to be there on certain occasions, you're going to remember certain things, and you put that effort in. And that's important. And as you say, but it's much easier if it's with somebody that you have a connection with in the beginning or enjoy spending time with.
I'll just add, see if you decide to make a podcast. Make something that you'd enjoy yourself. Go, this is the podcast I would seek out, this is the podcast I would listen to. And the chances are, somebody else will love it. Somebody else will send you a message and go, I really like what you did there. This helped me out when I was painting my fence. You know, you've got a lot of weird stuff, you know, it's on a spectrum. You know, it kind of, when I was in hospital with my gammy leg, usually get me through there for 6 years. If you're going to make something that you go, do you know what, I would listen to that, I would give that a go. Don't try and make it because you think it will get numbers. Don't try and make... We were talking about this earlier, it's a very cynical world in the American world, podcasting, where it's all 7 ways to make your first million, 6 degrees to get the best kids in the world. It's all sort of listed and kind of help yourself. Whereas the UK and European content, the Irish content, is a lot more creative, and it is stuff that is a little bit more niche, but you get the idea that the people creating it actually enjoy what they've put out, rather than having to have a really sordid shower because they've just taken a lot of money off of needy people. 9 ways to write a book. You'll be able to download that for $15. Just be wary of what your content is and make sure you enjoy it yourself, and somebody else will get a kick out of it.
So I've got a couple of really boring things.
This is the section that we shut off during the podcast.
They didn't want to know about. So obviously, once you all get into podcasting, the first thing that will come to mind is, well, how many people are listening? and the number will be lower than you expect it to be, unfortunately. So, I've unfortunately, that's just a fact. So,
this is some of the funniest
stuff. Crush your dreams.
Basically, if you didn't have anxiety problems before, once you start making a podcast, you will.
I think, for me, it's important to go in with your eyes open and know what to expect. So I have some statistics that I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear them or not.
Honestly, mate.
The average number of listens per episode is 142. So if you get 142 downloads on your episode, you're half better than every other podcast that's ever been.
Ever.
For getting advertising, the figure that advertisers look for is 5,000 downloads per episode in the first month. And they reckon about 7.3% of podcasts will ever get that.
Is there a way they can check that?
There is.
I'm trying to make sure everybody's not getting enough downloads to get
Oh, 4998.
Happy next month.
If you can get up to 20,000 downloads an episode, you're in the top 2% of episodes all time. The point is not to put you off. The point is that the relationship that you build with your listeners is not, it's not a wide net, it's a deep net. And the people that love you will bother you every day. But it's brilliant. It's so good when somebody... I mean, we have listeners that are mental and they try and tell us jokes that it's frankly would have been embarrassing 20 years ago. But the fact that they are taking the time because they feel that we are part of their life is makes it worthwhile. But I realise it's also a bit of a downer. I'm really sorry. But on the other hand, I have three websites that you should look at. And mentioned before, Libsyn.com. There are other podcast hosts, but I certainly wouldn't look at any other ones, purely because their stats are real and their support is second to none. If you have any problems at all with your hosting package, they've always been brilliant. You speak to a person that you can get to know through their podcast. So if you are looking for a podcast host, that would be the first place I'd look.
Just to give you an idea of cost... $5 a month is your basic package for something like Libsyn. That's pretty standard across the mall, which equates to a decent coffee. You know, one coffee a month. That's what, I mean, between three of you.
Yeah.
It depends who buys the coffee. But the but you can do it other ways. Buzzsprout are one of the few that actually offer a free package. A Buzzsprout offer you, it limits how much you can upload though. So you can only upload 2 hours a month, and then that content disappears after 90 days. But it's still free. So when you say I can't afford that coffee, there's still a way to do it. You know, and in terms of an archive, it just means that people won't access it. You've still got the audio you recorded, it's just their hosting version of it isn't there. So it limits 2 hours a month, which is a half hour episode a week, and you can do that for free for 3 months. That's one way of doing it, and they're pretty good as well.
The next thing I would look at is a bit of software called Audacity. Yeah. That's free, and it's that allows you to record and edit a bit more technical than recording on a phone would be. It's probably the next step up, but it's nice and free, and you can do a lot of stuff with it. The other thing you might want to look at once you've got your podcast going is a thing called Headliner.app. It's really great for Facebook and Twitter. You can take a 2-minute segment of audio and make a little animation out of it. You might have seen them with little sound waves. Again, that's something that's free to do and really helps you take a little clip of audio and get it out on social media a bit better than saying come and download the whole thing. Headliner.app.
Okay.
The last embarrassing thing I'm going to say before I shut up is that something that I'm really love about podcasts is that the gatekeepers aren't there. And what it's meant is that basically the barriers for women getting involved are gone. And I think that's something that's really, really special about podcasting. So the quality of podcasts across the board is a lot better than almost any other media. And the silence, I know it's a weird thing for me to say, but I think it's something really great about
Sorry, just to say, on the left side pod...
I've written Instagram really badly. This is my real handwriting here. This is what I'm showing. So on the left side, if you go to Instagram there, all the stuff we've got on there is examples of what it said for headliners. So we take little under 60 second clips of the show and put it through this and can put pictures and video to it. It's a really great way to share your content on social media.
Just one last thing I'll say is when I'm sort of working as a comic and doing the podcasting, see through the podcasting and other versions of social media, there's something about the podcasting that ups the level of engagement that other things, if you're doing it properly, a good podcast, whether you're selling something, whether you're just talking to your mates, is storytelling. See if you can tell it in an authentic, believable way. These people will engage with you out of the blue. You will not know where they came from. They will get in touch. If you ask for things, like, just even if it's sharing your stuff, something you want to get out there, they will help you in ways that you never believed a customer or a listener or just any, you know, the way it goes over. See, once you've got them listening, it goes over and above any kind of expectation you had. And as a great thing to be a part of. If you are going to think, do you know what, I've got a wee side business, I'd quite like to do it. Do it, because you're never going to get a level of engagement the way through an email or anything like that. If you can hook them in with the podcast initially, for your passion, your business, or your story, you will get them and you will keep them. You can go away for a couple of months and come back, you'll still be there, because you become a part of their day. You become a part of their routine. You release it on a Tuesday, they know that's where they're going to download it. If you think about it, just I really, really recommend it. You'll get a lot out of it. It's a community that shares. You know, there's other podcasts will start retweeting our stuff. I've never heard of them. And we'll do the same. We'll start sort of retweeting and sharing their stuff, because they do realise that as part of a new media, and even if I'm the one, somebody that I know might be in there. So there is a good sharing and an organic sort of widespread. But the worst thing that can happen? 3 people listen to it, and then you let the subscription run out. If you think about it, give it a bash.
Thank you. Good stuff. All right. So, do we have any questions for the Trampled Bats?
What was the first app? It was like Lib something.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Libsyn. So it's Libsyn. It's Liberated Syndication.
Catching.
Any other queries for the lads?
We covered everything.
What's your thoughts on Anchor? Was someone speaking about Anchor?
Oh, we've never used Anchor.
Was someone still?
Have you, Anne?
So Anchor is a something that, if anybody follows Gary Vaynerchuk, you would have seen Gary doing Gary Vee going, "Oh, Anchor is this amazing thing," and you just get your phone and you press and, "Oh my God, that's amazing." And obviously they've paid a lot for that. But it pretty much is. And so Anchor.fm is the app. And the idea behind it is very simple. Podcast recording, you record it, you put it up. There's been a lot of suspicion about it.
How do you mean?
In terms of people have thought, well, you can do it, it's free. But the rumour has been that they own your content.
Okay.
What they actually do is they do everything, like they sync it to Apple for you. So to get your Apple statistics, you've just got to go through them for it. I spoke at Podcast Movement in Philadelphia this year, which is the biggest podcast conference in the world. And the CEO from Anchor has been quite involved with that community, and recently did a Q&A. I've not met him, but asked a few questions, and these questions were put to him, and those rumours are just rumours. So it is a way of doing it. It does make it a lot more complicated, but again, it's another way of doing it for free. So you upload, it goes through the app. It's a really nice way of doing it. The problem is, as you said earlier, about people not listening to podcasts, you know, people not making podcasts.
The worst thing they did about podcasts was calling them podcasts. that was the worst thing. The podcast.
What would you call them? What would you call them?
Anything would have been better. Anything. They could have called them.
Urchies.
See, calling it something new and something Silicon Tech Valley. Like, I've got friends that I went to school with, 30, 40 years old. They're sitting, they know how to open a gambling account. They can't press download on a podcast that maybe love. Like, the people, the podcast that you start to like, you feel part of that community that you're listening to. It'll be yours. But the amount of times in a week you'll hear, "Oh, podcast, that sounds awful. I'm not sure about that." it's trying to watch your granda use teletext, going and it's the three and the four and the two, and I'm trying to buy a mode. And isn't this a complicated thing? But see, trying to get it over to people going, "Do you know what? It's already on your phone. It's for nothing." Yeah. It'll probably change the way you consume media forever. You interested? "Yeah, I like that podcast. What's that?" So that's, you're up against that apron. But see, the people that are on the other side of the apron, they are really passionate and love the whole community side here.
I think the whole language around it is very unintentionally creates a barrier. So one of the things we encounter, particularly in this country, is you say, "Well, subscribe to my podcast." I'm not paying for that.
Huh?
Yeah, because, but people do that because they have a subscription. The other thing is it makes money. The other thing we get is podcast. I don't have an Apple. The interesting thing about that was actually, so the podcast became almost as a knock-on effect of the RSS feed, which is whenever you've got an update and the computer says, "Oh, there's a new update." And somebody realized you could serialize audio this way, and that's how it came about. So they were invented in 2003, and then in 2004, Apple invented them. And that's why they became a podcast. And it is a terrible name, but we're moving to a situation now which we're getting past those barriers. Anybody that's bought a car or hired a car in the last 18 months, it's probably got inbuilt Android Auto or Apple AirPlay. So when you get in, you push the thing, it's there on the screen, you can do it. It's still not quite there because it's still easier to turn the radio on, but it's getting closer. The thing that's really changing it is Alexa and Spotify. Because now people are listening to podcasts and they're not realizing that they're listening to podcasts. Because let's be honest, for normal people, some normal people may be in this room, if I can use that word. You can't tell the difference. It's just audio. Literally, as I said in my thing, it's just words and sounds that are put out onto the internet for people to listen to. And so really, if it's done well, and in some cases if it's done badly, you can't tell the difference between some of the radio stations that you listen to. And I think that's a brilliant place for us to move to. It's a brilliant space for us to move towards, and it's getting there. If I can just go back to some of the things with the figures that you put there. What Gary was talking about was the figures when you go with platforms, you need 5,000, you need 10,000. That is to benefit from the preloaded adverts that they have, that they drop in, which you maybe get a small percentage of. So once you get to those 5,000, it doesn't mean you get £500 an episode, you maybe get £10 an episode. And that's based on this thing that the user media called cost per million, and that's based on the audience, which is a hangover from radio. But very few podcasts get over 1 million listeners, and yet they still use this thing, and there's a lot of hangover from radio, and you don't need to have that. One of the podcasts I produce, it's a martial arts interview podcast, just two guys talking, very niche audience. We're lucky if we get 300 listeners in the first week. I sold the sponsor of that, because I went to somebody directly. I went to a martial arts supplier, and I sold the sponsor for that. And I undersold it, but still made enough money to pay everyone and cover the costs. And went back to them, almost a bit ashamed that I charged them like £50 an episode. And I've never met anybody so excited. And he tripled his sales for the 3 months that he sponsored us.
That's 300 people that are tuned in.
Exactly.
You can look at it like that. You could put that martial arts podcast. See if you put that martial arts podcast prime time on the X Factor, you're not going to get 300 people that are tuned in to martial arts. If you are doing something, is there anybody here from the gym, from Brockman's?
No, unfortunately, we don't have a representative from Brockman's.
See something like that. See if you're coming like Brockman's, you're putting out an episode every month. How brilliant Jan is. and you've got somebody else in going, you've got somebody played Jojo going, Jojo, you've got your book out, want to drink some gin? And Jojo goes, this gin's delicious. That's a 30-minute advert. And the people that are listening to that are Jojo's audience. It's a gin drinker. Everyone's a winner. You cannot buy advertising that specific for a company. And 300 people, everybody's running about with new karate suits. Everybody's happy. You can buy them and say we want 150 quid an episode.
The interesting thing about that as well, with there's studies that we've done in America and over here as well, and some research, the statistics, they found that the engagement level with podcasts is so much higher. So when they say to people, you know, they've watched a TV show, they've watched a film, they've listened to a radio show, they've listened to a podcast, and there's some products that have been put in it, the retention and the engagement far outweighs everything else when you look at podcasts. People are so engaged. A lot of the actual promotions are done by the host themselves. They call host-read sponsors and engagement. And people are more likely to do something that a podcast host does than when they see it in an ad break. Because literally, what happens, like, let's be honest, when, if you're watching X Factor, you know, you're watching X Factor, when it comes to the break, what do you do? Do you sit down and watch all the adverts like this? I'm making up that, go and see that. Or do you go to the toilet? Do you put the kettle on? Do you throw something? Text your friend. Yeah, that's what you do. And it's the same. So you learn to switch off. There's a different level with it. And the engagement's very high. And interestingly, though, video's been a big thing, but what we've seen recently as well is video engagement has dropped massively. And YouTube are having a little bit of a panic about this because the average engagement for a podcast has gone up, or the average engagement for a video has gone down. Now, videos, very few people watch more than 1 minute of a video. Whereas people, anybody listen to Joe Rogan? Yeah? Like, a quick show from Joe Rogan is 3 hours, right? And he'll go on for longer. Yeah, yeah. There's a basketball show in America which just talks about obscure basketball players that only maybe made one or two appearances. These guys that do it produce 28 hours of audio a week.
Right? What?
28 hours. Each episode is 5 or 6 hours long, and they get 7,000 listeners. What? Right? 7,000 listeners every show, and they make a load of money because it's so niche and so into that. You're targeting into that. Going back the other way though, when you said about like the average audience having 140 people. Anybody got married in this room?
Okay.
No, I don't mean did you get married here? Weird.
He is married.
Anybody who's been married, right? Okay, so how many people did you have at your wedding?
The first one or the second one?
Put them together.
Very few at the same one.
Okay, so how many in total for both of them?
200.
All right, so 200 people. And those, to have somebody at your wedding, you've really got to like them and be pressured into having them there, right? And so if you think about that, you know, and I mean, how many times have you done stand-up gigs with 200 people in the room?
Oh, we do the figures. See if we do a podcast, we do it as a weekly figure. See if we get 4 figures, Wednesday to Wednesday, we do 1,000 downloads that week, rather than people cramming about back episodes. I would need to gig a big club 4 nights a week to get to 1,000. And I don't know. You need to play 4 times 250, which is a decent-sized comedy club if they're doing it right. And the numbers for the podcasting, you can't get messages, you can't get jokes, you can't get stuff out to a much wider, more invested audience than you can a comedy club while they've got their face in a chicken dinner and they're there on a worst night out. if you want to build an audience, the podcast is the easier way. Because I'll be honest with you, if people go to a comedy club, they go, oh, I like the guy with the hat. I like the girl with the face, people do not remember, they do not associate, they do not invest in the way that they do with this medium.
Yes. So I had a divorce lawyer, just a little twist. It was her 7th year wedding anniversary in September, so I was like, what am I going to do for the podcast? I'll get a divorce lawyer on with a 7-year itch, we're still together. But I thought, just do kind of tips for people that the marriage has gone stale, and I would talk openly on the podcast about times that I wanted to kill my husband. And I've had calls and I've had messages saying I need to speak to that divorce lawyer because they were so good. It was I think we did 40-minute chat and then a karaoke song at the end. And she was like, can we actually do two? We did When the Sun Shines, We Shine Together. Took an oath and I took it out to the end. And I started rapping, but if you can't keep your oath, get Debbie the divorce lawyer, she'll sort you. And she's like, yay. And see, just showing her fun side, because a lot of people are scared of divorce lawyers because they think they're going to be really stuffy. And just Debbie saying, like, we're going to have this really real raw topic about marriage, and then we're going to blast Umbrella. She's really had engagement. People want her to be a divorce lawyer. Because I trusted her. I actually said, Debbie, if I get divorced, you're my girl. I'm not on any commission, but people call her message. I am seriously saying, you want her details? Yeah, I recommend her. Because, that, I mean, it's powerful. A podcast, whether it's a 10-minute conversation or 45-minute, you can get a lot out of that. And if your listeners are engaged and they trust you, I never thought I was going to be selling divorce lawyers. But if people are struggling in the relationship, why not send them to a good one? Someone that's willing to let their hair down and sing about karaoke. And at the end of the day, people want authenticity. They want...
It prevents that. A lot of the stuff, like... See, Radio Scotland, 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, say, okay, we've got a divorce lawyer coming up, and it's the prescribed questions, and then it's the serious answers. If Jojo's got them on, they don't feel that same, right, I need to be very particular. They'll go, I had this one client, and then this happened, and it was a disaster, and they're a bit looser, and it's a bit more authentic, and it doesn't feel as serious or agenda-driven.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think as well, just to throw on there, one of the reasons comes back nicely from what you were talking about, and also what you were saying about people at the chicken dinner. One of the reasons why podcasts have such great engagement with people is, you know, anybody in here that listens to podcasts, where do you listen to the podcasts?
Work.
Right? What do you do?
Project manager.
Okay, right. So people tend to listen to the, I'm guessing, in the gym, in the car, walking the dog, right? Mostly when you're on your own, yeah? And you have that engagement level and you have that connection. And I mean, probably you guys can talk about this as well. When you meet people that have listened to you, there's this weird thing because they are your friends because they know you. And but that's why you have that level of engagement.
Yeah,
when someone comes up to you and tries to do an in joke about a podcast you did a year and a half ago. And they look at you so expectantly for you to be like, episode 62, and you're just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But like on the other side, we had a girl that made knitted dolls of us all, and we were terrified, but she's actually really lovely.
Now that she's inside.
Yeah. John actually complained about his and asked for a second one to be made.
Did she not get your beard right?
I can't
remember what my complaint was. Was it the beard?
It was that you didn't have a beard.
But then she decided to add a bag of cocaine and a bank card to it. Was that what happened next? Aye, that was what happened next. No, the one thing I learned was I never used to listen back.
Aye.
I used to hate it. Was coming, you said at the end of it, the sound of your own voice. I never listened back for the first 50, 60 episodes. And that was something both of yous were on at me going...
You need to sound your voice as well.
Just things like how far away I was from the mic. Never picked up because I just refused to listen. Leaning away when laughing because of just the sound in my ear when I heard it was horrifying. So
you have a horrible laugh.
Yeah. So that would be the one thing I would do if you're going to start is listen to yourself back. It's horrible the first couple of times, but you will get so much out of it just from where you need to sit, how you need to use your voice, just being comfortable enough when you need to communicate properly. And just because we do a lot of things where I'll go, Conroy always sits here, and I will lean away and talk to him, and then when I listen to the call, I go, fuck, I couldn't hear anything that I was saying there. It's fine with you because you're straight ahead of me, but it is just little things like just concentrate, because to be honest, because we're now on Patreon, there's people who are actually giving us some decent money, and I'm like going, right, I can't be putting out shite content, and I can't be turning away and losing my sound and doing this, and just not talking to you, and not worrying about the person that's on the other end. But no, the reason I listen to podcasts and work is because of Joe Rogan's the main one I listen to. So like, I've got about 9 hours of podcasts a day and you catch up on, and now your football one's going to probably take some of that. And now you do a martial arts one, so I need to add that to the list as well. One of the things I have
for
my mental health is, I need to give myself a check. Yeah. One of the things I noticed was where I would always slag advertising on TV, just watching it going, who the fuck would buy something because they've seen it in an advert? And I listened to another podcast, Bill Barton, he always advertises these boxers called MeUndies, and he always does his own wee jingle that he makes up. And I'm always laughing, going, just that TV thought, going, who would buy anything that's advertised? And it was my mate that said to me, he goes, you. You have like 6 pairs of those MeUndies. Cafe Nitro and all that, CBD oil.
Mattresses. If you like any podcast, be prepared to sell mattresses. Mattresses are keeping podcasters in food. And if you don't like it, send it back 100 days.
You've got one at home, right?
Two.
Did you want to say something here?
Just on that, so before I came into podcasting, I did commercial radio, I produced at BBC, and I did my own breakfast show and drive show as well in England. And one of the things we used to do there, after we did the show, we would have a daily snooze session. And you kind of come through and they pick out, you sort of finish the show, you go out breakfast, then you come back. And they pick out a section of the show and you go back and listen through that and just go, have you targeted that one? And there's a real skill to going through that, picking that out. And also there's a real skill that comes to emotionally being able to deal with that. Because it's literally just someone going, you've just done that show, you feel great. Right, that was shit. Okay? And the way they would do it is they would go, they wouldn't say, that was brilliant. They would always go, how do you think that was? Right? And you kind of panic and you kind of go, I did this, and then you go, oh no, I forgot to do that. Oh, I'm awful, I'm rubbish. And so I learned from that a very important lesson. It is very important to listen back to what you're doing, as you're saying, but give yourself a bit of breathing space. Because what happens is, whenever you record something, it's good, you get this bit of a high, because you're emotionally attached to it. Give it 10 days, and then come back and listen to it. So if you want to, if you put something out there, you want to listen to it to critique yourself, don't listen to the last show that you did, listen to a show that you did last month. Because you're far away enough from it to, your ego's not affected. You can actually look at it and kind of go objectively. And there'll be stuff. And the amazing thing is, so Jim that I did the show with, we had this incredible experience where, when we started doing the show, we were like, we're going to do a show that's about football. It's not going to be like Match of the Day. So it's just going to take the piss and be funny. And then on our fifth show, we had the Paris attacks. And one of the things that happened in Paris was there was an explosion outside a football game. There was a big game between France and Germany. And there was people killed outside the ground, and one of the family of one of the footballers was killed as well. And we were like, how? You know, we're set up to do a show, a topical show about big football stories, but there's nothing funny about that. Mm. How do we do that? And so we just ignored it. We weren't confident enough. We just didn't approach the subject. We just didn't do it. All we did was we changed the logo of the show that week to the French tricolour. That's all we did, like a lot of people did at Facebook. And then we learned from that. We learned a lesson. And we refined how we were going to do stuff. And I'm born and bred in Manchester. And Jim that I do the show with moved to Manchester. We both love the city. And last year, as I'm sure you all know, we had the bomb at the arena. I'm going to the arena on Friday for the first time since it happened. And it really affected us. It really affected us. And but when that happened, we were more confident in what we were doing. And again, there was an involvement with football. Nobody was directly involved, but the two big clubs in Manchester donated £1 million straight away to the families to help them deal with it. And also one of the stadiums at Manchester City was used as everybody was sent there. So if you were worried about somebody, that's where you went. And that was used as to coordinate bringing people back together. There was so much confusion and a lot of disaster. And use the audio from that, and that's what got us a nomination last year from the award. And when we listened back to that audio, we cried. And we made this audio ourselves, we'd done that. But it brought back the emotion of what happened at that time. And also, we were both very proud of how we'd done it, and we'd done it quite well. You know, and the thing is, you forget what you've done, like you said, and somebody comes in and goes, that joke in episode 60, you forget what we've done. You forget what you've done, and you put so much stuff out there. But the amazing thing about it is now, is when you meet somebody, I mean, how many people here have always wanted to write a book? Yeah? Okay, how many people have written a book? Yeah? But here's the thing, like, what happens if one day you meet somebody and go, I'd love to read your book, but I haven't written it yet. Whereas now you meet somebody and go, that sounds great, I'd love to listen to it. You go, well, here's the link, listen to 200 episodes. You know, and that's the power that you've got. And you mentioned gatekeepers a couple of times, right? To do what we all do here now, all of us, on what we did tonight, to do that even 15 years ago, you needed, you know, 7 people, you needed a studio, you needed an ISDN line, you needed all this equipment that was beyond it. We can do it with a phone now. You know, those gatekeepers have gone. Like, you use that word, it's a brilliant word, and people don't fully appreciate what that means. You know, those gatekeepers stop you from doing things, but those gatekeepers aren't there now. The only person stopping you from doing it is yourself. And I'll tell you something else. There are a lot of people that I've worked with that have no awareness, no self-awareness of how bad they are. Right? Honestly, they have no. And these are some of the most successful people in the world because they don't realize that they're bad. Now, there's a lot of people in here who are probably very, very talented, but they're very self-aware, and that self-awareness holds them back. And they go, it's not, it needs to be better, it needs to be better. Mm-hmm. And yet you'll get, and I've worked at some of the biggest radio stations in the country, I've worked on a couple of film productions as well, and I've met people where the lights aren't even on, yeah? Mm-hmm. There's nobody home, there's no power, and yet they're making more money than all of us in this room have made together in this year. Yeah? And the reason for that is they don't have the awareness to not believe their own bullshit. And that's, so honestly,
is this your winner's speech?
So the things that normally that hold you back, the people that succeed with it, they don't let that hold them back. So yeah, just get out there and do it. Give everyone a hug. Thank you very much.
Are you going to sing a song?
I know.
You could do. Why not?
I think I've sang enough for one. If you want to hear me sing a hell of a lot more, you can hook up Mommy JoJo and Captain Mojo. It's been really good to be here tonight and give me a high five. But I hope it's been an inspiration. And I'm certainly going to be emailing all these guys with a shitload of questions tomorrow. The techie stuff I freaking hate, but I'm getting there slowly but surely, and it's making mistakes, so as you say, just go out and do it, because you're going to make mistakes, but that's when you learn, as long as you're passionate about what you're talking about. What I really got from listening is what you're saying about the audience, the power of that, how you can connect with people in that time. It's kind of been a motivation for me, just for smash the next podcast.
Generally you get 2 in the next episode, 3 in the next episode, 4 in the next episode, and there'll be more positivity coming with those 4 people. Yeah. More positivity. I'll let Gary advise you. Thanks to Jadine and Marcus for inviting us today. Before you do, you can actually oblige to mention Lisa Marcus's will be available. You please use the discount code.
Yeah, we could. I was going to let you finish, but I was going to then say a big bull of us. But anyway, yeah, we could. We can ask some questions. Yeah, why not? Yeah, let's bring the floor. Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
So I am a follower.
Do you listen?
I promise not. Yeah, I'm a listener.
Oh my god! That's a rope! You got a rope!
I know it's not a second in the call, but I mean, first of all, I love the titles you come up with, yeah?
Right.
So you did Wembley State, and it was it Straight Out of Linwood or something like that?
Straight Out of Linwood, yeah.
But you had one ages ago, which was it Pterodactyls Got a Silent P or something?
And
every time I tune in, I always think, it's
always something that's been mentioned and broadcast.
That's my question.
Like,
how the hell all these titles come together?
Like this week's episode was called the Seeger Ross Spacey Effect, because we were talking about films, and I mentioned that I can't movies that I've loved in the past. John mentioned Seven, and I'm like, Kevin Spacey's wasted that for me. And then the Seeger Ross drummer got into a bit of bother and direct. The Seeger Ross drummer got into bother and apparently that I'm going to go into the Me Too campaign in America, done something he shouldn't have. So I can no longer enjoy the music of Seeger Ross. A whale majestically striding out in the water, soundtracked by a Scandinavian orchestra, is finished for me. So every time somebody gets into trouble in the news, I'm now referring to as the Seeger Ross Spacey Effect. Just when something beautiful has been taken away. And every episode title has been mentioned.
So where is this? Where did Straight Out of Linwood come from? Because I watched it and I listened to it and I thought...
That was John talking about how when he lived in Linwood, everybody referred to one another as their surname. So there's a section on there, Straight Out of Linwood. That was the B-boy crew that was part of in Linwood.
I think the episode title is probably the last thing that's done just before it's uploaded. So at the moment, you know, we record on a Sunday, I edit on a Tuesday. And once I've edited the podcast, I jot down a few of what I think are the standout sentences or lines. And then either I just pick one and force
always,
it on them.
Always just pick
or
one.
Or occasionally I'll let them have a bit of input. But I would be really interested to know how you would describe our podcast to everybody else.
Your podcast?
Yeah.
Mental. I just think it's mental. I love listening to it in the car. So when you're asking where you listen to it, I always listen to it in the car, because if I'm going to meetings and stuff like that, I end up coming in the car laughing my head off and I go to the meeting in a great mood, because they're just mental.
But that's lovely, but you know how every week when we ask people to get in touch? You know how every episode when we say, don't be shy and get in touch with us? Where's your emails been?
I'm going to get a photo and then I'm going to blast those on Facebook.
As a listener, you know how needy Gary is. you came to use a bit of love and affection, Gary. Yeah, you never did that.
Nick, come up here for your hug. You know the hug, the door-to-door hug. This is it, Nick. This is it. Get up here. Boys, get in there. Give him some juice.
Let's have a few.
You want us on?
Let's have a juice.
Living the dream.
Oh, now, listen, by the way,
I'm on this one. This is engagement, people. Live engagement.
From this angle, that looked like, people will take that you're on stage. Let's make it.
So, any other questions?
I don't know if we can top that one, but yeah. Anything? No?
I do have one question.
Oh, right.
Initially, it was two words that seen the Google searches, Trampled Bat. So this was maybe 9 years ago. So we thought, so what? Comedy nights are bad for having a fox or a squirrel or a dog in the title. So see, if you see a comedy night, it's always kind of the cheeky monkey. Or the squirrel's handbag. It's always something like that. So we thought that would be ungoogleable. You know, if you type that in, see soon as you're typing in Trampled B, it comes up a band called Trampled by Turtles, and then self-populates the Trampled Bat. So as soon as we can get Google to self-populate, and then the reason Gary picked the colour scheme of yellow and black, when you look at the tiles, on iTunes as it was at the time. Nobody's using yellow and black, so it stuck out a wee bit. But then maybe about, like, I go on and check the just mentions on Twitter. So you just type in Trample Back and search, and maybe about 2 years ago there was a reference to a piece of human anatomy using the phrase Trample Back through a Witherspoon's account. I'll let you go on and have a look yourself. It makes me cry a little every day. But we're kind of stuck with name. I wouldn't have called it that.
You would have called it the Chris Conroy Show.
And do you know what? Do you think that would have been right to call it the Chris Conroy Show? You jumped in there. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to get right, the name and the branding and everything. But once you do it, would you say you're stuck with it, Gavin?
Yeah, I think that in order for it to have a discoverable podcast, you really want what you do to be in your name. We didn't know that, or I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was just like picking a band name, and you know, it means
nothing. What was the name of your band, Gary? I'm guessing.
The name of my band in school was Locker 30.
Locker 30?
Western Berkshire's premier rap metal outfit.
Rap metal. CDs available?
No.
Cassettes available?
Yeah.
It was a mixture of things. It's not done us any harm, and we're kind of stuck with it. But no, don't get too stuck. I mean, as Gary says, as long as if you're going to make a kookery one, make it kookery with Davey. Do you know? Don't overcomplicate.
Flying in the oven.
All right, folks. Yeah, I think we're going to have to be calling it a night, but we're going to work well. We're just going to round things up a bit, so, you know. So I'd like us to thank our guests, of course, you know. Mr. Conroy, and then we also have Jojo Fraser.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.